The message is about offense, the suicide of offense. Say with me, offense. And if you're new here, if you're a visitor or fairly new, I don't move in religion. I hate religion. I hate hermeneutical teaching or preaching. Somebody sent me a message and say, you know, you hermeneutically you're bad, and homiletically you're bad, and whatever. Exegesis of your scripture is bad. I said, listen, God has not called me to that. He has called me to preach prophetically and to make a revelation that I get simple and get it through to the people. Jesus did the same. Show me one sermon that Jesus preached with hermeneutical or homiletics or exegesis in. Are you guys with me? In fact, hermeneutics comes from the word Hermes, which is from the Greek god Hermes. Okay, so we'll leave it at that one. Say with me, offense. I hope I didn't offend you now, but the sermon is starting with offense. I have a short message, but a powerful message. I want to speak to you about the suicide of offense. I titled it this title because offense is what we call a silent killer. That is not there, that is, it is not even touching sinners or in the world. It is touching believers. When offense touches them, when that silent killer comes in, I have seen 90% of those who have left the church or ministry or churches out there is because of offense. Are you guys with me? It's because of offense. We have seen it's offense. It doesn't matter what mosque, what excuse people will put up. Their hearts have allowed a seed of offense to come in. Many has been hurt by churches. You have been offended by pastors before, or offended by churches before. And that seed of offense comes in when our hearts are not at a place of strong word, strong foundation. It is susceptible to a seed of offense. Are you guys with me? Now, next week, we're going to go much, much, much deeper, much better. Next week is when we're going to pray for freedom. Next week's Sunday morning, when it comes to offense, the evenings is different stuff. This next week, Sunday morning, you're going to see what happens between couples, what happens between marriages, what happens between parents and children, what happens between relationships, what happens everywhere in ministry, in the workplace, and how to get free from it. The problem with offense is when offense comes, it blinds us from the fact that we have it. Are you guys with me? It blinds us because we do not see it unless it's confronted, number one, or number two, unless 10 years later you realize you've taken offense and you realize that for 10 years you look the same as what you looked 10 years ago. Your finances is the same as what it was 10 years ago. Your growth and maturity is the same as what it was 10 years ago. And you realize you've been stagnating for 10 years, not here. Are you guys with me? Deal with offense. Many people are stuck in poverty. They are stuck in circumstances. They are stuck in hurt and curses that are coming upon them only because of one thing, offense. Whether that offense was taken against your abuser, whether that offense was taken against a pastor or a church or your spouse or your partner, whatever it might be, that offense will keep a person in prison and will keep chaos to come onto their lives all the time. It is God's way. God will send chaos. Are you guys with me? God will send chaos until the person hits rock bottom and they realize they got this offense, because it is his only way of saving a person who has offense. He will allow things to happen. You know, there was a story of Muhammad Ali that was sitting on an airplane flying, the boxer, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, and he was sitting on an airplane. And as he put his, he didn't put his seatbelt on, and the stewardess came to him and said, sir, please, you know, put on your seatbelt. And he said, listen, don't you know who I am? He said, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. So she looked at him, So she said, well, Superman doesn't need a plane either, so put on your seatbelt. But what happened there is that we think, many times in Christianity, we think we are Supermen or Wonder Woman, that nothing can touch us. We think the pastor that preached here is a Superman or Wonder Woman. Nothing can touch them. We always go to them for our problems, which ought to be so, and it must be so. But nobody has ever considered what problems they're going through. Are you guys with me? Sometimes we think if somebody's on the stage, or we think they're preaching, or even us as leaders, we can come to a place where we feel that it is that we are Superman or Wonder Woman, and we are untouchable. The reality is, offenses comes to every person. If you're sitting in this place, you've either had offense, or you're going through an offense, or you are going to go through an offense. Put me Luke 17 verse 1. Listen to this. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Everyone say with me, take heed to yourselves. Say it again. Say, take heed to yourselves. The scripture says these words. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows forth the issues of life. What that word guard means, it means put a garrison around your heart. A military might around your heart. A fortified wall around your heart. Because out of your heart will flow forth issues. What is he saying? What is the scripture saying? The scripture says, listen here, when it comes to your heart, it is a matter of a second or one word that someone speaks and that drops like a seed into your heart, or a thought that the enemy suggests. Are you guys with me? I come in, I might not greet anyone. The next day they want to commit suicide. I'm telling you, this is what I deal with. Are you guys with me? Just because I don't greet them. As Christians, we need to move to a higher level of maturity. Those who take offense is still exposing their immature state. There are people sitting here, you've even been hurt by church, like I just said now. You know, my wife and I have every reason to be hurt. When we started our ministry many years ago, from before we planted the church, traveling, we didn't have 1 cent to our name. I had the clothes on my back and that is it. And we stayed in a two-bedroom flat with my mom at the time. And we started. I could have blamed the church. Why the church that has trained me up and sent me out, why did they not look after me financially? And what made it worse is I would be preaching out. And then people wouldn't pay me. They'd be like, so because, you know, we hear that Destiny is paying you a salary because they sent you out. And I began to get angry. Listen. And anyway, we carried on. That stopped happening, but I could have taken offense. Then we had people, every pastor in the city turning on us. Big names. Falsely accused. Right now I'm being accused for being gay. I don't know. Then we would sit, my wife and I would lie in bed, and we would hear somebody attacking us, a minister, a hero I'm looking up to, attacking us on from TV. I could have taken offense. Are you guys with me? The emails, if I just get connected to a church, let's say from Pastor Mark that raised me, to I'm in friendship with Hatfield, Empower Church, Hatfield, Pastor Gilbert Barron. If I'm just connected to a church, the emails and the messages they get about me will make any church cut me out. I could have taken offense long ago already, but I chose, my wife and I chose to never entertain offense. The way you don't entertain offense is to never expect anything from anyone. Are you guys with me? I've sat with millionaires. I've sat with billionaires. I've had promises given to me. I have never gone there with an expectation. I have never left there thinking, oh, they're going to support our ministry. Wow. I don't do it. Because if they do it, great. God will bless them big time. But if they don't do it, my heart is protected. I carry on in ministry normal. The problem is many ministers' hearts have been wounded. When they get on this pulpit and they preach, they are preaching from a wounded place. And they're creating wounds in people. Are you guys with me? I am, from the day that I got saved to the day that I'm sent out, up until today, I'm a person under submission. I have fathers and mentors over my life that if any would come to me and say, talk to me about your marriage, what's going on? Why am I seeing this? I don't take offense. I talk. Oh my goodness, yeah. We just go to somebody, we say, listen, I think you have this problem. The offense that comes into their lives. And we just want to help them. That is how we grow a church. That is how we do maturely. Are you guys with me? I've done a huge ministry before we planted the church. Ministered to thousands. My goal with the church is, we have 3 services on a Sunday. And as I said, we are expanding. But, you know, my goal is, what God has called me, is to equip those that are here. Whether it's 10 or 700, where we are right now on a Sunday. 700 attendance with no doubles. If everybody here can sit and get this message, it's mission accomplished for me. Amen. To understand, amen. To understand that offense is a silent killer. Offense comes from the word skandalon in the Greek, which comes from the root word scandal, meaning offense comes when the enemy wants to bring a scandal to you. So you're sitting in the chairs and Leon is speaking about money, whatever I said earlier, and they think that I just want money, and or Leon is buying all the stuff on his, you know, he's buying a nice car, a house. The enemy is now bringing a scandal. Are you guys with me? We are very transparent with our finances. As I said earlier, I believe I said in this session, we are very transparent with our finances. We are transparent. We are open. If I have to tell people just the budget to maintain these things, they'll get a heart attack. And, you know, there's no such thing of me putting my hand into the money bin. There's no such thing. We have security from taking the finances to taking it to a place to then as it goes. But we have signatures, 3 signatures, different codes, different seals. We protect. We have to do it. I believe a ministry that's run in integrity, God will bless. The Bible says that integrity, King David says, my integrity preserves me. So offense. So people get offended with me, you know, for things that's not even true. I heard one pastor saying, he has a big church, he said he was putting something on Twitter, and he had to be so careful because these days everybody just takes offense about anything. So I put a nice hunting image on Facebook yesterday, and I was making ready to get attacks, and I saw nobody attacking, unless if my team deleted, which I don't want them to delete on that, and nobody attacked, and I thought, finally, I think we are getting to maturity, okay. I saw this minister, he was talking, and he said, you know, he wanted to write this tweet, the social media post, and he had to be so careful. He was so excited for what God told him. He said, God told him, a sermon is not a library, it must be a life experience. And he, so excited, he puts it on Facebook, thinking it's the greatest revelation. There a woman comes back and says, listen, yeah, I'm a librarian. So, you know, I take offense to what you are saying here. You know, so it doesn't matter what I say from here, people will take offense. And this ministry will offend you. If it doesn't offend you, we are not of God. As long as I offend you and this ministry offends you, you must know you're on the right place where God wants you to be. Because He's chiseling on your character. He's chiseling and He's working on wrong attitudes. It's that I can walk past you without greeting and just walk. And I know His heart is pure. He's not even going to think anything. Because I might not even see Him when I walk past Him. If I do in a prophetic service, I don't see here. I focus on other things. I'll just walk, but immature people will take offense. I used to tell you, spirit, soul, body, flesh. Those in the flesh, you always need to hug them. Those in the that is soulish, at least you can walk past them and wave at them and walk past. Or wink at them, at least that they acknowledge, okay, the pastor is seeing me, so long as I don't take offense. But the spiritual man, he's the one that you just walk past, you don't even have to greet him. And the next day, mission goes on, work goes on, ministry goes on with no offense. I tell the guys around me, in ministry, there is no place for offense. Are you guys with me? I think I'm too hard. Sit with me, offense. Let's read you, which we have already. Listen, I call offense spiritual suicide. Offense starts in the heart, not in the mind. God will offend your mind to expose our hearts. Are you guys with me? If I can get this teaching through, and we're doing these type of teachings once every 6 months or so, that people can get back to again and realize, you know what? I've been taking offense too quickly, here and there and here and there. Offense, a person that takes offense, their heart soil is not mature. It is an immature person that takes offense. A mature person sees the bigger picture. A selfish person takes offense because all they think about is themselves. Are you guys with me? So the word offense, so it comes from the Greek word skandalon, like I said, which comes from the root word scandal, but it was also used for meat, for the piece of meat that is put on a trap for animals. They would dig a hole in the ground. They would put leaves over that hole and put the trap, the piece of meat, on that leaves. And then what they would do is they would wait for the animal to come. The animal will take the scandalon, the bite of Satan. The bait of the trap itself, the bait. He takes it, he falls into a pit. They then take him out. Whatever they want to do with him, they do. But what happens when that animal is falling into that pit? He falls in and he can no longer progress forward into his destiny. When people fall into offense, they can no longer move forward in life. How many people in ministry have been taken out by offense? I have just ruthlessly... Pastor Mark raising me up, ruthlessly drilled into me to guard my heart. If I answered my phone and saying hello, I was gone. My bags could be packed and it's time to leave by just saying hello. Is this going down well? I'm looking at the people, I'm thinking, hey, I don't know if they hate me, if they know this stuff. It is... Don't worry if you have offense. Next week, Sunday, we minister to you. Are you guys with me? Okay. A Christian that is not offended is happy and joyful. If I would answer Pastor Mark's phone calls and I say hello, it would be the end. He would scream at me. Why? Because we understand spiritual things. We understand familiarity destroys the anointing. Number one. Number two, offense means that I'll go into a shipwreck or I'll jump ship. And that is how you be trained. A good father trains their children. Are you guys with him? Imagine I'm here. I have to call people out. We work with people that are hurt. We get them in. We work with them. It's a good father that does that. If I'm a bad father, I wouldn't care about you. I would just stand and... That one is an adultery. That one wants to get a divorce. This, that. Oh, so what? We just move on. No. That's not a good father. A good father teaches everything to their children to try to help them get to a place. Amen. So the measure of grace that God has given me We're taking it so easy because we're in this building. But you will see many things this year. I'm telling you, you'll see this year. You'll see things happening. Before November already, you'll see things happening. So, the grace that God has given me, I've traveled, I've ministered to thousands upon thousands, 5,000 crowds big, seen the power of God move. I prefer this, where I can disciple and train you. And give it 2-3 years, church will be so big because of what I know and how you are equipped, how you are trained. When a person carries offense, they cannot catch my spirit. When a person carries offense, they cannot catch the DNA, if I may say it like that, of the house. They'll always be contrary, always be contrary. They'll always know better. They will always say things. They will always justify. Get that thing out. You will see your business prosper. You will see every area prosper when that thing is out. Offense is in the heart. It's when you can't even talk to your wife because, you know, something is wrong. Or you can say hello, bye, but you can't talk intimately. You can't get intimate with your wife because something is wrong. There are parents and fathers that cannot show affection or be intimate with their kids because of how they were hurt. And the children gets raised up. They don't know the language of hugging. And when somebody shows them love, they cannot receive it. Are you guys with me? And then usually they run off a daughter, the same thing. If a daughter is raised up, if she does not get the affection that she needs from a father, and she doesn't get the identity, she will leave that place by the age of 18 or 16 or 15 and go find that at other places. Are you guys with me? And it happens because of offense. Families go into offense. And it has become cold and critical. Waxing cold. Love waxing cold. So, this is not a rebuking session. I want this pin to drop with offense. That we can be a people not taking offense with one another. We can serve in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if Marie tells you, okay, I need you to sit in the third row because we have a conference. Are you guys with me? We had one lady furiously mad. And for goodness sake, I think we put her in the second row. Furiously mad because she expected VIP treatment. And sending me an email that she can't believe how we didn't provide VIP treatment. I said, we'll VIP you outside of the door. Okay. So. And you know what is the worst thing? Their destination is hell. Offense. That thing, I'm telling you. Okay. Let me read. Get me the scripture where it speaks. Give me the scripture where it speaks. Forgive 7 times 70, Gehenna, and Raka. It'll all be in the same scripture. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a swear word. Okay. Shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, please, it doesn't mean if you say you fool that you're going to go to hell. It's speaking of someone who has offense that has gone into anger and then it's coming out in words. Are you guys with me? I've called many people idiots. I've called many people morons. Even Paul in the Bible calls them morons. He says to Timothy, okay, Paul means, when Paul says morons in the New Testament, he calls them moros. Comes from the Greek word moros. Literally, that's where you get the word moron. He said to Timothy, that around 120,000 people, he said, Timothy, these morons that wants to split the church, that wants to bring division and a false gospel, you better deal with it now this way. And then he explains how to deal with it. But he calls them morons. Are you guys with him? So people would quote me and send me on Facebook hellfire messages that I'm going to burn in hell because I say that. No. it's speaking in conjunction of being angry. Go to the next verse. Being so angry. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Now it says, listen, if you come with your money to the altar, you want to worship God. We can only worship Him by giving finances. Okay. We give Him. I put the fire, and then I realized, but wait, I have something against my brother. Do you know what is amazing? Only once the gift was brought to the altar was the thing enlightened for them to know the area of offense that God wants to deal with them. That one didn't drop too well. I'm reading Bible to you. Are you guys with me? Then it doesn't say take your gift away and go ask forgiveness. No, 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 no. It says leave your gift there before the altar and then go your way. Then be reconciled. He's saying, listen here, a people who give, they rarely battle with unforgiveness. Because when they give, God exposes and tell them, I mean, when they have unforgiveness, they come, they tithe, or they give. God has the ability now to work in their heart. When you give, where your treasure goes, that's where your heart is. So now God has your heart. Now He can begin to work in your heart because He has your treasure. Very simple thing. Are you guys with me? So let's go to the next verse. Okay, not there. It says, forgive your brother 70 times 7. He says, so say with me, offense, scandalon. I explained to you how it works. We'll be finishing in 5 minutes. Give me a moment. It means to snare, to have an occasion to fall, and a stumbling block, an occasion to sin. An offense is a trap of the enemy that will come to every believer, especially in an anointed church. Bring offense and destroy the rest of their lives. Are you guys with me? Destroy the call of God for their lives. So, you know, the Bible says this. It says Proverbs 18 verse 19. Put for me on Proverbs 18 verse 19. Listen to this. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentious are like the bars of a castle. He's saying, listen, if you have offended someone, it's better for you to go conquer and win a city before you will win that person. Because somebody that is offended puts bars around their heart and they protect themselves and they hide in there like a concealed, like a city. Are you guys with me? Listen, even John the Baptist took offense and he was the greatest prophet according to Jesus. Are you guys with me? John the Baptist, Jesus said, there's no other greater prophet than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist went too far. He wanted to step outside of his grace and go off the kings. And his head got cut off. But before his head got cut off, he was put into prison. While Jesus' ministry was exploding. And then John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, he pointed to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But now you're in prison, John. You're sending your disciples to Jesus to ask Him, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Offense entered him. He was offended that Jesus could do supernatural and he couldn't. He was offended that Jesus' ministry exploded and he didn't. And then he was offended because he was expecting Jesus to get him out of prison. There are people that are offended because they're expecting us to help them financially. And we don't. I think I'm too heavy on this. I think I'm too heavy. There are people that are offended because we don't help them with finances and we have a whole foundation. We have forms filled in. In fact, anybody can come and ask for food, but there's requirements. It even says the widows in the New Testament had to be qualified to receive support from the church. We are not stupid with money. We don't just give away, give away, give away. We have a foundation. We have stock taking. And we're even going more. This year, we're going to go do very big things. We're going to feed about 20 families every day or something. I don't know. We're going to feed 20 families. And from there on, grow more. It's immediately starting as I'm talking. But John the Baptist said, he should have taken me out. Believers, people saying, that pastor should be helping me get off the streets. It doesn't work like that. God, get saved. God will lift you up. Are you guys with me? Charity that's given in the wrong way is witchcraft. So, even Mary and Martha, the Bible says that news came to Jesus that his friend, his brother, his friend Lazarus is dead. Are you guys with me? That Lazarus is dead. Jesus on purpose waited another 3 to 4 days. And then he went to Mary and Martha where Lazarus was. He waited on purpose because he wanted the resurrection to be real. When he got to the door and he knocked on the door, Martha came out. And Mary stayed inside, not wanting even to greet Jesus. Because she took offense. But Mary was the spiritual one. Martha was the doing all the works. It's usually those who are spiritual that'll take offense. Are you guys with me? It's a teaching that I want to get principles through to you. But this thing, listen, this thing saved my life. There was once in my life when I took offense. If I didn't have this knowledge and I wasn't taught these things that I'm telling you now, that's where God revealed me. I was once, only once in my life, I took offense. And when it comes to ministry, and it is like, if I didn't know this and I didn't fix there, I would be gone. There would be no church here. There would be no ministry. There would be no Chris. There would be no Mijon. There will be no, are you guys with me? There will be no Chris and Irene. There will be no, there will be none. If I took offense at that moment, imagine what God can do to you, with you, if you deal with the areas of offense. You'll be so free. Offense is like having a hunchback on your thing and you're walking like this and you're trying to carry it. Anyway, I'll get into the prison of offense much later next week. So I want to speak about the suicide of offense. So Mary and Martha took offense. Judas took offense and he committed suicide. Are you guys with him? He took offense. Judas said to Jesus, when somebody brought him bottles of Aventus Creed to put on his feet, or I'm joking, let me say expensive perfume, and this woman, only those who love the first time will know what Aventus is, put it on his feet and washed. It was a year's wages of this woman. Imagine you take your whole year's salary and you give it like that to Jesus. Her story is forever recorded for all generations. That wherever the gospel is preached, Jesus said, her story will be preached as well. When she did that, Judas glared from the door and said, but Jesus, now this woman is doing the wasting this money. We could have sold that and give it to the poor. Sounds very noble. Are you guys with me? Very, very noble. But he had an issue in his heart. Jesus said, first of all, are you attacking that she's blessing me? Number one. Number two, Judas, you are already stealing out of the financial, out of the treasury. You're already doing it. Whenever somebody judges somebody else or tell them they're doing something wrong, that person is doing it also. It's a spiritual rule. When a preacher preaches against homosexuality all the time, he's in it. It's a spiritual law. As gravity is a spiritual law, that is a spiritual law. As when you take the speaker and it'll drop, that is a law. That is how it works. So Judas took offense and it led him to suicide. Are you guys with me? So even Cain and Abel, listen. Cain and Abel, offense comes when people look at you and they see that you are prospering. When you get on the stage and you testify, this happened, I did that, I got so blessed financially, a car was given here, a house was given here. These are things that are happening in our church. I don't know how many cars were given to people. Just out of my own life, I've given 2 cars already. It happens. Where God's movement is, there will be blessings. But the enemy will look and say, why are you being blessed? Cain and Abel. Cain didn't kill Abel by accident in a fight. He killed Abel because God favored Abel and not Cain. He went there after jealousy. There are people that want to kill you just because you are prospering. That doesn't sound like my people are here today. Are you guys with me? Is it dead? Is aborting my message? Because we can end now. I want you to prosper in every way. It is God's will for you to prosper. Just like healing, it is God's will for you to be healed. But prospering, there's not one scripture in the Bible where God wishes that his children has poverty upon them. Not one. So I believe what the Bible says. And say with me, offense. Listen, it's just a few stuff that happens with offense. Number one, everyone is offended, can get offended. And number two, every one of us offend other people in our words unless we get mature, perfect, mature. Offense comes to those who are immature. Are you guys with me? Offense are instructive. If somebody on my team takes offense, then I know they are exposed in an area that is wrong in their hearts. A lot of times I'll speak to the band. I'll say, do this or stop doing this. If his heart is not for me, he will take offense. So it is my duty first to build a relationship with him and get his heart. Because when you're in battle and a general says, get down, and you don't get down, you get shot. Are you guys with me? Or I say, stop doing this. I need mature people that can, don't take any offense. Their heart is pure. And they say, you know what? Our goal is to get the anointing into this place. I am leading. So they follow and they listen to me. That's how it works. Are you guys with me? So listen. It's a sign of the end times. 90% of people that leaves churches and ministries is because of offense. The scripture says that at the end times, love will grow wax, will grow cold. There's offense that comes, and that's why the churches are full of offense, because we're getting towards the end time. But we can allow this prophecy not to come to pass in our church. Are you guys with me? Listen. Go with me, and I'll close off with this. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 10. 2 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 1. I'll close with this. Just one thought. New Zealand, and I can be standing on a correction, about 41% of their birds don't fly. Can't fly. You'll see when you are there, they'll be on the floor. A lot of them will run on the floor. Some of them even have small wings like this. Underdeveloped wings. Because in New Zealand, there's not predators that really goes after birds. So and I can be corrected, there's not snakes, there's things that usually takes birds out is not there. Which means those birds are not pushed and doesn't have determination to fly. When an airplane takes off, he goes against the wind, and the wind gives, when there's momentum and speed, doesn't matter even the weight, when there's momentum and speed, the air that is going against will cause what we call lift to take place. When you have opposition coming against you, lift will immediately take place in your life. When you have no opposition, then even the thing that you are supposed to do, you are not able to do. Because we grow and conform to our reality. But as long as there's persecution, as long as there's attacks, as long as there's people coming against you, or you feel ashamed, or you feel embarrassed, or you feel offended and you deal with your heart, you must know that there's wind blowing against you and lift is beginning to take place. Are you guys with me? I have never seen a successful person that has not gone through persecution. People, I don't know. I see like 5 people that don't like me very much. Offense. I will offend you so much. And we haven't even started. I'm just waiting for that we just established a little bit, as I might just chase everyone away. Jesus stood in front of the crowds and he said these words. First, he fed all of them. There's 15,000 people around him. Then he stood up and he said, if you drink of my blood and you eat of my flesh, you will have eternal life. The people think, well, this is a cult. Listen, Jesus didn't have a halo. Are you guys with me? Imagine I'm standing in front of you. I say to you all, listen here. We're having communion today. We're going to take some of my flesh here and blood here. Unless you do that, there's no eternal. You will run. You'll go to the newspapers. And it has to be so. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is all of us would have run from him. And when he said it, and then the Bible says at the same time, he turns around animatedly and he points to the crowds and he says, you serve me just because of food that I give you. Pick up your cross. That if you cannot deny yourself everything that you are, you cannot be my disciple. The Bible says everyone left him. Even his disciples, the 70, left him. Then thereafter, even his 12 disciples wanted to leave him. And he asked them, why aren't you going also? And they said these words. They said, we have nowhere else to go. And then Peter said, because with you, we know when you speak words of life. There comes a time in ministry, in church or spiritual fatherhood, where you have to push people away to see who is loyal and who is not. Are you guys with me? So listen, let me close off with this. Let me close off with this. 2 Samuel 10 verse 1 to 8. David's mighty men. I'll close with this. Give me 5 minutes. Listen to this. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to the Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. What was happening here is David is saying, listen, he's saying, a king died there. I want to go and show our condolences. I want to go and show kindness and sweetness. Are you guys with me? I want to go and show kindness. I want to go and show sweetness. I want us to go. I'm going to send two mighty men to there to go convey my message and endure this time of mourning. And he, look what happened. The son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me, so David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. Next verse. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun the Lord, do you think that David really honors your father? Because he has sent comforters to you. Has not David rather sent his servants to search or spy out? He says, listen here, David's not coming to comfort you. He's sending spies to take over this land. Next verse. Therefore Hanun took David's servants. These are mighty men. He shaved off half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks. Say with me, buttocks. You only have five people saying that. At his buttocks, coming from the root word butt, okay? So their buttocks, and sent them away. This is your Bible, so don't get religious. I saw some people were already ducking and diving. Me, I don't care. I don't care. Religion will be tormented here. Amen. We've seen people run. Like run. When what that was in, I think, Deliverance Night. Listen, these guys' beards were cut. Half. And their garments was cut that their buttocks showed. It's like, have you ever been in a hospital? You've all been in a hospital. And you have to tie that thing up here. It's the most embarrassing. I hate hospitals. Because you have to walk like this. And I go into a hospital. And I have a lot of people that know me. Then I'm standing there and it's embarrassing. You have to, why couldn't they make the slit this side? So now you have to do it here. And then everybody, wherever you see everybody's bums as they walk. And then I have people that know me, that see me on TV, or that comes to our church. So I don't like hospitals. It's embarrassing. But this is embarrassing to these guys. These guys, if they were killed by a sword, it was greater honor for them. But the fact that their beards were cut in half, beards speak of honor, maturity. It speaks of rank, what you have accomplished, your experiences. It speaks of your strength. And they said, listen, here, we will remove your strength and we'll embarrass you and expose you and make you naked. That's what happens. And these mighty men became offended because of this. Rather kill us, but don't do this. David came involved and said to them, listen here, I'm not going to carry on reading. David says, I want you to go to Jericho. And when you go to Jericho, when you get there, just relax there for a while. The word Jericho means sweetness, place of sweetness. It means a place of sweetness and kindness and a sweet smell, which means that when we are offended, the attitude to have is not to react. Are you guys with me? The attitude to have is to become sweet. Doesn't matter who has attacked you or who has offended you. And I've had people that would attack us to our face. Your response, as long as it's sweet, that means that you're hiding in Jericho. And your strength will eventually begin to grow back. Your garments will come back. And you'll leave that place with honor restored, with your strength restored, and you'll have victories again. But hide in the place of Jericho. Hide with the attitude of sweetness. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet wherever you are. Go with me, put me on the screen as we are here. Just put me on the screen, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 19. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 19. Listen to this. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance, say with me, vengeance. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. As I say, there's a few things where God says, this thing is mine. The tithe is mine. Number two, vengeance is mine. When you retreat to the place of sweetness and a good attitude, God will step in and He will have vengeance upon whoever has done you in, upon whatever has come upon you. But when our attitude is right, you'll experience the God of vengeance. It will be so heavy, you will beg Him to stop His vengeance on those that have done harm to you. Are you guys with me? Raise your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands.